Hey, what's up, y'all? It is Carla, your host, and my co-host.
Sai, what's up, everybody?
What up? Melanie's here, but she's gonna leave us. she's busy doing her school stuff, staying busy, and I get her. I started school this week. Yeah, yeah, it's
so
going.
We started school.
You and me. Honestly, I was just telling Dwayne like earlier. I'm like, if I couldn't like it, really like 100%. Like, and I kid you not, guys. Like 100%. Sal, I need you to read the syllabus with me word by word. If I didn't have like Sal or Melanie, like I'd probably be like dropping the class by now. And like, it's only like 2 days into it.
What is it though? What is it about that, about school that intimidates you?
It's writing, dude. It's like, writing? I love free writing and I love journals and like writing letters and writing text, writing captions, like things like that in my own freestyle.
Right.
But I think since like growing up, knowing Spanish and English, and this isn't an excuse. It's not an excuse,
for sure.
Like this is just my personal experience, like learning Spanish and English. Spanish became the dominant language and it's just like an insecurity. I know it's an insecurity of like growing up and then getting told like, hey, you're going to have to repeat the third grade. And I'm like, damn. Then that made me, as a little kid, that made me think like, man, am I stupid, you know? And like being real about it, like, yeah, it made me feel like, am I stupid? And moving to Utah and like these kids being in third, fourth grade with accelerated reading levels and I'm over here reading like little things and or reading the same thing as them and still taking forever to read through them. So it's like, I think it's like a deeper rooting behind it, you know, in the meaning of like, I never grew the confidence of writing and feeling confident about like, this is what I'm writing about and receiving the criticism back. I feel like I'm scared of that, receiving the criticism back and it being like a really negative thing.
Like not constructive, more like, oh,
yeah,
you're fucking up.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe it was like my peers telling me shit like that, you know, and it kind of really like influenced the way now I see my writing and it's like, or see criticism coming back. Because probably my writing's not that bad, like honestly. Like
I haven't seen any of your essays yet, so I'm
it's probably not all that bad, but
I don't know, I give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You're probably amazing writer.
But, you know, it definitely is like that insecurity where it's like, oh, they're going to think this or they're going to say this and it's just going to sound stupid, and, you know. So it's just like that. I think that's actually a really good thing to share because, you know, if you're out there and feel that way, please know.
Yeah.
It is okay.
And you are not alone.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, I think that's like, as a little kid, that's what I felt like. I felt really like alone to like, who can I look for to, like, help me on these certain things? Like, honestly, most of the reasons why I would just push so hard to pass my classes in high school was because of sports. Like, that was my mental, like, that was, like, my meditation, you know? That was my, that was my field, like, sports. And so then, if it wasn't for that, I probably would have been like, screw school, forget it.
Yeah.
Honestly. And so, but no, I, like, I knew that I had to fucking get a passing grade. The higher the better, so I can play on Friday's game, you know, like shit like that. So that really motivated me. But so now, like, I'm actually taking this English class that I've already dropped twice. Yeah, I've already dropped twice. And this is my third time. So it's like, all right, let's do it. And then I'm taking a religious cultural class, which is interesting because then that hits another soft point, right, of like religion. But I'm excited about it, though, because now I'm looking at religion in a different perspective. I'm looking at religion in, like, a, yeah, in a different, in a more mature aspect. Like oh, shit, like, you know. They're obviously not going to sit there and talk about just Christianity or Mormonism or Catholicism or Buddhism. What they're talking about, like, all the realms.
All the ones that are found everywhere, yeah.
Like, all the realms of it, and then also, like, the culture behind it and how it can possibly be useful and healthy. Instead of a more of a destructive and cult-related thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what I've experienced, like cult-related nonsense. So, yeah, I'm just taking two classes. It's not too bad.
Yeah, but it is a lot to take in. You know, it's a way new experience for you now. But at the same time, it's like, this is your third time doing the class, but it's a new experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely, like, interesting to see the different growths of how I'm taking it. But I'm excited. I mean, so far, I've been literally staying plugged into the class since, I think, Friday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Even though the semester really starts tomorrow, because they're waiting for, like, a dropout deadline.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to stay ahead. It's going well so far. We're going to be writing about coffee.
Yeah.
And I say we, me and Sal. Sal and I.
She's doing the writing. I'm only helping. Don't try to discredit her.
So, yeah, we're just going to be writing about, you know, hopefully if it gets approved, we want to write about coffee wages in LA County and how we can make it better. And so we'll have two projects. The first project is just talking about the topic, teaching the audience, which our audience is going to be baristas. And yeah, it's just going to be baristas in LA County, just like teaching them like, hey, this is probably why the wages are low. Obviously, I don't have full on pieces to this yet, but it's just kind of the idea. So if you guys have information you want to share with us, please DM us and let us know. Cause like, I would love to know more on coffee wages and how, you know, they fluctuate here in LA County. Even if you're not in LA County, honestly, it'd be nice to know outside sources.
Like,
if you're bored
and you did, like, a Google search, and, like, we can just, like, compare between your state and ours, or your county and ours.
Yeah, so it'd be cool to, like, learn more about it and hear you guys' perspective. But if not, it's okay.
It's okay. No pressure. Yeah. We just ask.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I'm excited about that essay.
Hell yeah.
Especially because it's something I know, like, you know, and I've worked in and I've lived through it, and so... Yeah,
that's gonna be really cool because I like essays that are really personal because they usually end up better.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying, you know, it's like make sure they're personal, but also make sure they're personal enough where you don't become biased of the situation.
Yes,
and I totally like, I think about it, right? I've been a barista, my income has fluctuated due to different shops, different locations. It doesn't compare from Chicago to Logan to Logan to Long Beach.
Yeah.
From Long Beach to LA. It doesn't compare. It's like, it's different. It really is different.
It really is.
And so, you know, I'm passionate about like, man, like as baristas, like it might not be considered a profession, but it really isn't that easy.
that's so weird to me. How is a barista not considered like a profession?
I don't know. I think it's like... It's like you think about chefs, you know, or chefs, cooks, like the differences between those things. I feel like the coffee industry is so young still. It's like, it still hasn't determined a lot of shit.
For sure.
And so coffee shops are like not that old, you know, we've had like coffee shops, how they are now, how they're structured now, they're not that old. That's how I look at it. But it's, I mean, coffee shops have been around for decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember reading an article talking about how back in the day, they weren't called coffee shops. They were called penny universities. And it was like, this was like based out in like Europe. But why they were called penny universities is because you could pay a penny and get a cup of coffee and you could sit there with professors to people that are like minimum workers or whatever, you know, and you could be learning a substantial amount of information from different people and you don't have to be a certain class. Right. And so I think there's this like the article also said something like there's theories that that's where Newton's law was found at a penny university.
At a penny university.
And so I'm like, oh, man. Like, I mean, I'm going to be surprised, like, if things like that were just full-on discovered, you know, where it's
Yeah, especially so much shit that you could talk about over a cup of coffee is just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, you know, now you go into a coffee shop and you see laptops.
Yep.
And that's what I mean by these kind of coffee shops have been around since we've had laptops.
And also, you know? And before that, it was newspapers.
Yeah.
Magazines. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's like you're still building a conversation within like behind the newspaper in a sense.
Yeah.
With people, you know, and it's like, if you
get through to it. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it's like laptops, like they're very beneficial, but then that's why there's also a lot of coffee shops that don't have Wi-Fi. Because they hate having the people with laptops, because they'll buy a cup of coffee for $3, $4, maybe $5, and they won't spend anything else.
They'll just be there.
And I am guilty as charged. I've done that before. Right. Like, I have done that before. And so, and
there's nothing really wrong with that from a consumer standpoint. Mm-hmm. But, like, from the business side, you're like, I need you to spend more money.
Yeah, because it's like, then you're just supplying... You're just supplying an area where it's safe for them, but at the same time, it's like, as a business owner, you have to really look at your finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're staying closed, if you're staying open an extra hour just to supply for that one customer that spent only $5 within the first hour, mm-hmm. how is that really benefiting you?
Exactly. And especially that, because they're eating up your electricity too, because most likely they're charging the laptop as you're using.
Exactly. And so then that ties into the barista wages. Like, so I've never been a business owner. I've never been like a coffee shop owner, but I can see how it could, that little factor itself can affect a barista's wage.
Right. Because at least you've been a manager.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've been in a managerial role or supervisor role where you're like, hey, I got to oversee all this for the owner.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's just like a bunch of factors. So I'm really interested to like research more into it. Aside from like my own experience, I'm excited to more now than anything, look into it more in database.
Yeah.
You know, and really look from like owner's perspectives. Hopefully we can get like owners and talk to them about it. Baristas and just talk about it and really see how like, it varies.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to find out, like, from their standpoint. What do they see from this, not only from business, but also how to make it more personal for them, since this is what they started from on their own, or, like, with a small group of people.
Yeah, because I do remember a friend that worked for a coffee shop a while back. They were getting paid, like, $15, $16 an hour. That's not including their tips.
Mm-hmm.
But the shop had barely opened. And the shop came in strong thinking, and this isn't here. I don't want to name the place or anything, but, you know, I just anonymously. And so then as the shop had barely opened, they opened with the perspective, like, we want to pay our customer, our baristas, you know, a sustainable income.
Yes.
Like 6 months into the business, they were looking rough in their finances, because they were like, wow, we're paying our baristas this much, but like we're like getting screwed over in this sense of like we're not getting enough customers, you know, we're not like, so at that point, I mean, obviously it has to do with like management, like how are we going to cut labor, or how are we going to like structure our hours, how can we bring more product that's going to bring in more customers, our audience. So it's like there's so many factors that play into that, but it's like, you know, then they had to step back from like giving them a pay cut, and that's not good.
That's not good. You don't want to go from like you're getting a sustainable wage to getting a pay cut.
Yeah. So talking about that, I think is going to be interesting too, and give people perspective. Like, look, you want to open a coffee shop? Cool. Just know, like, I know that you're all about sustainability and wanting to help your baristas because you've been a barista yourself. But just know, you got to watch yourself too, though.
Yeah.
And so, I think just tying that in there too would be cool, like talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. And I would agree, because that says a lot about the current business model of a general, of a generic coffee shop. Where, like, with this example of the shop that you mentioned, where they wanted to pay their customers, I mean, they wanted to pay their employees a sustainable wage, which was reasonable, and then you add on tips. But then at the same time, like, your P&L isn't matching.
Yeah.
To what you want, to what your goals were.
Yeah. So then right there, you're pretty much shooting yourself in the foot, because it's like no barista, no employee is going to want to hear, hey, we're going to have to do pay cuts. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're like the closest person to the owner, like, it's just still not something you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, hey, you're doing awesome, but we're going to have to cut your pay by $1, by $2, and so forth.
But so keep being awesome, though.
Yeah, so then it's like, really? Then what happens there, right? Mm-hmm. Then it connects to the quality of their labor isn't going to be in as much. They're not going to be in it full-heartedly. You know, they're not going to be like, all right, yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me know. And then tomorrow I come home, come to work and I still put 110%. No.
No.
I'm going to come into work and be like, all right, this again.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they're not inspired to work
anymore. Yeah, yeah. So
even though it might not even be a career choice for them at that moment, but they're like, I enjoy this job. This is cool.
Yeah.
Now they're like, now they got me working here in this bullshit ass place.
Yeah, and that's why you see a lot of coffee shops with younger kids.
Yep.
Because younger kids, in a sense, and I put parentheses. They're not aware
as much.
And I put parentheses, right? Quote unquote, it's like they're just. They're still maturing. They're still working on their stuff. Yeah. They're still figuring out themselves. Or it can even be older
people, but that they're not aware of like the amount that you need to have a sustainable wage.
But then it's like, then having these younger generational kids working coffee shops, then that makes the job position not, I don't know how to say it, and I maybe you can help me word it a little bit better. But
does it like devalue the position?
Yes. It brings, not saying that younger kids or younger like employees aren't great, because there is there. I mean, there's
no, they're fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, same with like older ones and like mid, like whatever it is, you know. But it's like, yeah, it kind of just brings like a devalue in a sense where it's like, oh, a kid can do this, so why should I pay this a like person that actually wants to be in coffee and wants to grow in the coffee industry? Mm-hmm. Like, why should I pay them more when I can just get like a teenager that's still in high school or something
that doesn't care about benefits or 401k or
so it's like things like that where it's like it's just it's really big, like I don't know, it's kind of a big mess.
It is a big mess, and it just shows like these people, these places are just trying to survive.
Yeah, so that's like, so the topic in general I think is a good one, because we're not, I keep saying we because I feel like you're writing it.
Yeah, right.
But I guess like I'm writing it in the sense of like I'm not trying to be biased about it.
Right.
Because it's like if I were to ever open my own coffee shop, it's like I totally get it.
Yeah, this is going to be something that you're going to be dealing with like head on.
Yeah. Yeah. So but anyways, that's life for me.
Yeah, that's your life right now.
Yeah. So that should be, so far it's going good. Can't complain.
That's good.
So, yeah. You?
Yeah, right now I've just been like just handling the wedding, some other personal stuff, just getting through it. And it's trying to be, you know, the best person I can be. You know, as cliche as that can sound. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to do though. I'm just trying to be getting through life.
Yeah.
As best as I can with like the wedding, my personal life, and just like making sure the podcast is like going well.
Yeah.
And like, just trying to get small little stuff going.
Yeah.
You know, you like to say you want to rule in silence and then show people what you did. So that's what I'm trying to move with.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
That's what I'm doing. But so far, I've just been trying to keep up with what's going on, like, outside of my world.
Yeah.
Trying to see some outside perspectives. So I got to see, I didn't get to see the presidential debate, but I got to see a little bit of the vice presidential debate.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it was cool. Like, it started off with just, like, Kamala Harris. Is it Kamala or Kamala?
Kamala. Kamala? Yeah, I think so.
Miss Harris.
Miss Harris, there we go. Yeah, that's usually what I know her by, but...
Okay, so with Senator Harris, what's it called? It was starting off with her and with Vice President Pence. You could kind of see that the narrative being pushed a lot by the internet and by just... what you see is that, like, Senator Harris was being the smart, sassy person.
Yeah,
of the debate.
2 minutes I saw, I was like, damn, girl.
Mm-hmm. Just with the phrase, I'm speaking, like, it sent rage to people. Where it's like, yes, talk your shit. You know, because it happens all the time, right? Women always get interrupted by men, especially in power.
Like, what is it? There's a word for it.
What is it?
But anyways,
uh-huh. Or was it mansplaining?
There you go.
Mansplaining. Thank okay. You.
Yeah.
Like I just did now.
No. But not rudely. I mean,
not really. Like, not like, really.
Yeah, I hate that shit. I hate that shit. Like, sorry to get like off topic, but it's like, fuck. Why did? I mean, like I said, you didn't do it rudely. It's not like you were like, I really just didn't know the word.
Right.
But man, there's some guys where it's just like, they will just...
It's like they're professionals.
Yeah.
But they're oblivious to it.
Like, I've caught a couple of, like, some of my even loved ones, like, friends and family do that shit. And I'm like, I can decide for myself. Thank you.
Like, whoa.
Like,
and then you look
and usually,
weird.
And usually, like, I don't, I personally think I don't have a lot of attitude.
What?
Okay, let me restate that.
Yes.
Usually, I don't think I throw off a lot of attitude.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I know I have a lot of attitude, but I don't think I throw it off as much.
Okay.
I'm really usually, like, I always try to see the best in people. I always try to, like, keep the peace. And, like, I'm a very timid person when it comes to, like, trying to not step on people's toes. Like, I try everything possible not to step on anybody's toes. So I always, like, adapt to people. I always adapt to anybody and everybody as much as I can.
Right.
But I, man, when they're definitely, like, speaking over me because...
Like, if men are speaking over you.
It's like, excuse me? Like, okay.
Like, who are you?
I try not even to speak back about that stuff, but it's like... Because I'm still learning my communication skills, you know? And so it's like... Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's so weird how that's a thing now, like, in our society. Well, not that it's new, but it's like, that now it's being brought out to light. Like, hey, now there's a term, fucking... Quit being that way.
Yeah.
You know, and my first time I ever heard that word was in One Day at a Time.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, and
we still need to catch up.
We still need to catch up with that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We're like not caught up with that.
I know.
But yeah, that show they illuminated a lot of things for people.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that show for that. So hearing that on that show was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, do I do that?
Yeah.
And then I started noticing, getting back to the debate, I'm like, man, if you see a lot of politicians, that's pretty much the atmosphere. It's just all a power play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And seeing it in a debate was like, okay. Like, I'm actually paying attention to the debate. I'm getting into it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, this is extra. They're just arguing, man.
Were they arguing?
They started to, they were arguing, but very passive aggressively.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to see the whole thing, so I don't know how it unfolded all the way through.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, yeah, it was very passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it escalated at one point where Mike Pence was like, yo, I want to say my shit. No se que. Like, he wanted to get a point clear.
Yeah.
That Senator Harris was talking. She was like, no, I'm speaking. Vice President, I'm speaking. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Dang.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, just let her speak. Shit.
It's just like crazy because it's like, how do you like overcome that? How do you defeat that? You know, it's like, you're not trying to be rude, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you had your chance. Mm-hmm. Like, man, there's being able to like stand that, like, go fucking Harris. Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
Right. Because everything's going to make him look bad.
Yeah.
At that point, after what happened. And then, so then you see him, where he's like, you know what, I'm going to just try to address the American people. But I don't know, what was it that it's just, he wasn't coming off as genuine.
From the beginning, I mean, I've only, like I said, I've only seen 2 minutes of it. I've kind of been busy, but the 2 minutes, it wasn't even 2 minutes, it was like 5 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of like looked like, just kind of distracted a little bit.
He did, and then his eyes were like fucking bloodshot. Which was confusing. I was like, you okay?
He was faded.
So he was faded.
Yeah.
So that was such a weird... That was a weird debate to see. That was... It wasn't as crazy as, like, the Trump and Biden one.
God.
But, yeah, it didn't fall short of, like, its memes.
Yeah.
The internet will always win.
Yes. Yeah. Wasn't there, like, a fly on
him? It was a fly on him for, like, 2 minutes straight that just wouldn't come off.
Honestly, it's probably, like... what is it? Those flies that are like cameras, you know, like fucking with him or some shit.
It has a camera and a mic to tell him, hey, say this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit. Didn't think about it that way.
Oh God.
That's funny. I'll have to watch it. So.
No. Yeah, for sure. You have to watch it. It's just, it's so weird to see, you know, like how you, but there you go. We're being distracted by the fucking fly. What were we forget? What are they talking about in the debate?
Yeah, like, what were they talking about?
What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Maybe that was just a distraction.
Shit, now we're going to a whole different topic. Nah. But yeah, that's so weird. Now we have a distraction towards what really happened.
Yeah, exactly. But cool, I'm going to have to watch it.
And I recommend everyone to watch it, just at least to experience it. Even if you're not into politics, just see what we're talking about. Like, yo, this is important. This is deciding how we live in this country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether it's comfortably or like with the us looking over our shoulder.
Exactly. What are the timelines of things right now? I know that voting is literally right around the corner.
Yes. The voting is coming up in the beginning of November. Mm-hmm. The last day to send in your mail-in ballots is like in late October, like probably next week.
I think it's like next week. I think they said something like 22nd or 21st. We'll have to find more information about it.
And what's it called? We're just trying to get information to everybody that's like, that doesn't really know how to get accurate information with like that they can trust, mm-hmm. you know, comfortably. Yeah. But we're just trying to spread out as much facts as we can. You know, we're not trying to be really opinionated here. We just want to let y'all know. Find out what you can about propositions, about your about candidates that you're interested in, and just formulate your own opinion, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, moving on.
Sorry, I was trying to look up the date.
Oh, look up the dates. Yeah, when it comes out, look up the dates. I wanted to ask you. What's up? If I can remember the question.
Mm-hmm. Una mentira.
I know. What's it called? Man.
We'll have to look into it. I don't know why it's
We have to look into the dates. I cannot remember. I need something for my brain. I need something for my brain to be like, there we go. Back at it.
Well, we were talking about the ballots, voting, mm-hmm. this country.
I had something that was going to tie into it. I don't remember what it was. I was going to ask you. I feel like you should look into the story of Hamilton. Either the
Netflix, yes.
Netflix?
No, Netflix?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, okay.
I think you should look up the story of Hamilton. If you want to be fun about it, you can watch the musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Do that shit. But look into the real story of it, because that dude was interesting. That dude was very interesting. It's like he formulated a lot of things that we do now in the present day, mm-hmm. where a lot of things were because of him, like our banking system, our... how things played out with Jefferson becoming a president, and a lot of things that happened in the political era back then was due by a big influence from Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
So I think that if you want to learn about an immigrant story, you can learn about him.
Okay.
You know,
born
in the Caribbean.
It's just like, I think I started watching it with you guys.
Yeah.
And then we had to do something. But I think I didn't finish it watching it because I'm not used to watching
musicals.
You're
not used to watching musicals.
And it's like, wait, you're moving too fast. What did you say?
It's rap, so you have to like make sure.
Yeah, like it's already. Attention. Yeah, like it's already taken me long enough time to like learn rap, like to read rapping in general, you know. But it's like, yeah, I don't. You okay?
Yeah.
But so it's like. I don't even know what I'm saying. I think I was just saying that was distracting.
It's hard to keep track with it if you're not like, oh my God, I'm super invested in what I'm watching. But I feel like in the media, we have to learn more about our history. Kind of tying back to what our assignment. Tying back to the assignment was, it's like, if you find out how you got to this point, you can learn what went wrong and what went right and pick and choose from what's happened.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, you can tie that in with everything, really.
Yeah.
Find out where you got to. So even though history can be boring.
It's not boring. People, like, history. I love history.
I actually was trying to. A lot of people like to say it's boring, but I'm like, all right.
No, I love history. Like, I tried. Back
in, you know?
I find it boring.
Yeah. Like, I tried to, actually, when I was going up at Utah State University, like, I was trying to go into history.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously, that didn't work out, but yeah, like I love history, but when it's like that, it's like, what?
It's like intense, huh?
Like, you know, like
oh shit, I'm trying to catch up.
If that were to be in like a movie form, like just no musical white, like mm-hmm. they're not singing about it,
yeah.
I'd be like, all right, okay.
Right. But the whole point of the musical is that it adds like some kind of gravitas, some kind of like.
Yeah, I need to watch it. I need to like watch it in a more like with a con más tiempo.
Yes, that's true. With more time. That's true.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's a good way to approach things. You want to learn about it, find out the history for it, and find out how you got here. Yeah,
a lot of people they say it's like not as well as a good representation, or some facts are not correct.
Right.
And which is true, but I mean. I learned more, at least more from it than all my other classes.
So, and then it gets you interested to the point where you can actually learn what's, like,
exactly. accurate. Yeah, what's exactly. Cool. Which then, like, leads to, like, what yesterday was, right? Yesterday wasn't just a regular Monday, you know? Yesterday was Indigenous, People's Day. Which, personally, growing up, all I knew it was Christopher Columbus Day. You know, I didn't really know much about my background, didn't know much about, like, my roots and what Indigenous people, we didn't really get taught all that, stuff, right. You know? And so it was, like, yeah, going back to that, it's, like, getting educated and, like, really just trying to, like, see something. We all learn differently.
That's so true.
It's, like, that's true. You know, I could sit here and probably not understand a musical, but if you were to put, like, a comedy show about it, like, which I know a lot of comedians have actually integrated history into their comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, man, I understand that shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, so it's a different dialogue of learning. And, yeah. So like I said, you know, I grew up fucking like thinking it was always Christopher Columbus Day. People probably till this day still think it's Christopher Columbus Day and don't really know what Indigenous Peoples Day is.
Yeah, because it's such a new thing now.
Yeah. New, like
the actual holiday is new.
Yes. Yeah.
But what it represents is talking about a trauma and a history and just something that at least the American people should know about what happened on these lands before the Europeans showed up here.
Yeah.
You know, there were people here. There's even evidence now that people were here 2 million years before.
I know you were telling me about that.
Scientists were thinking they were.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
So, which is even crazier. It's like, look at how much even more history we have to try to unfold now.
Mm-hmm.
And just to break it down, it's like, oh, it's just Christopher Columbus Day, the guy that raped and murdered like hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know, alongside with the rest of the Europeans.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, really trying to find your resources to know how to, like, learn and how to, like, really pick up that's going to benefit you. Because, yeah, like, things like that, you know, like, representing our Indigenous ancestors and really, like, respecting them and paying them the respect that they did deserve at that time, still deserve to this day, and should still continue to deserve.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for humanity in general, in my perspective, but it's like our ancestors went through so much shit, and to this day, we're still going through a shit ton of things.
Because the only thing that makes Christopher Columbus really relevant is that he is a part of the most important moment in history. And this was said by like Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the most famous, like astrologists and like other kind of crazy scientists, you know? Where he studied space, where he was saying the day that he landed in the Caribbean and he quote unquote discovered this whole other side of the world, that connected two sides of the planet together finally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was once separated, which originated in Africa and it spread all over Europe and Asia, and then eventually because of the Ice Age, you were able to move over to North America.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those people, and then they've been split off for millions of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's that people have been brought together, that merge.
That merge, yeah.
That is, like, he considers it to be the most important event in, like, human history.
Yeah.
Because after that, boom. It was just a boom of everything. There was industrial revolution. There was, like, no sé cuánto. That led to the moment that we are here.
Yeah.
And now. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy, you know? I mean, yeah, it's definitely, like, history overall is just, like, a really thing that we should always be educating ourselves about it. So, yeah. So, happy late Indigenous People Day, mi gente. Like, we appreciate you, and I hope you were able to pay respects to your ancestral roots and shoot yourself and your family that's right next to you.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely, like, keep strong. Keep pushing always forward. And that's why elections and voting is so important right now, because that's just the way our country's structured. I wish there was a different and better way to be structured as a country, but I mean, we can only do so much, and right now the power we have is our voice, and that's by voting.
Yeah, your voice and your mind, you know, try to educate yourself.
Yeah,
like we keep saying earlier, know your history so you can know how to change your future.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, well, I don't have much else to say.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. That was our little recap of what's been going on. Thank you guys for tuning in, and if there's anyone that you guys want us to talk to, or if you want to be on the podcast, or any topics you guys want us to cover, please let us know.
Yes.
Either down in the comments or on our website, leave us a little note or something, or, you know, on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will be making the transition to going once every week.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, once every other week.
Yes.
On episodes, so don't be surprised, you know, guys, like I told you last week, if you don't see an episode posted or you don't see a post posted, we're just going through a transition right now. A healthy and good transition, yes, obviously.
This isn't like a weird, like, oh, we don't know what to do with ourselves.
No.
We're like transitioning due to our, like, everything that's going on within each of our lives.
Yeah, and trying to balance every one of our lives and trying to make it. So,
so this episode will be out soon, but not as soon as you would like.
I know, so. Thank you guys for always tuning in. We appreciate you. We love you. And keep following us. Keep sharing about us. Keep sharing about you to us, you know.
And keep growing the LTX family.
Yes. Yes, please. So, well, va pues.
Vámonos.